Supporters of Donald Trump in the US are conceding that he should not have described President Obama as the founder of ISIS at a campaign rally last night. Mr. Trump created more consternation on America's campaign trail, but also hit out at Hillary Clinton over allegations of influence peddling during her time as Secretary of State. So what will today bring in the United States? Goodness, isn't that the million-dollar question? Our correspondent Simon Marks joins me live from Washington. Good afternoon to you, Simon.
Hello, Chris. You've dragged me away from a Donald Trump speech. He's on his feet at this very moment in Florida, so anything could be happening while you and I are on the air.
Well, let's take a look at what he said last night, first of all. This is what Donald Trump actually had to say.
You know, they honor President Obama. ISIS is honoring President Obama. He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS. Okay? He's the founder. He founded ISIS. And I would say the co-founder would be crooked Hillary Clinton.
So another ad-libbed remark by the Republican candidate. What are his supporters saying?
So Donald Trump last night in the middle of his speech suddenly started talking about foreign policy and clearly wanted to get into a piece of the speech where he was going to suggest that because Barack Obama had failed in the early period of his presidency to provide sufficient support to the moderate Syrian opposition, thus the moderate Syrian opposition had become radicalized and thus Islamic State had emerged and had gone about their murderous activities over the last several years. But in saying what he said, Donald Trump characterized President Obama as the founder of ISIS, Hillary Clinton as the co-founder of ISIS, and even some stalwart supporters of Donald Trump are arguing that that went much too far, that it's more careless language that Donald Trump has deployed on the campaign trail. Congressman Sean Duffy is a supporter of Donald Trump. He comes from Wisconsin, a crucial battleground state in this November's presidential election. Donald Trump really wants Wisconsin and Congressman Duffy in his corner, but as you'll hear, speaking on American television this morning, the congressman had to concede that Donald Trump had been careless with verbiage when he called Barack Obama the founder of ISIS.
No, did he found it? Is he one of the guys on the ground? No. But did he allow policies that let them become what they are today? Absolutely. Donald Trump has to be, again, far more scripted because the media is going to splice and dice his words.
And what the congressman went on to say was that he believes that it's now time for Donald Trump to speak from prepared texts, to use a teleprompter, to do all of those time-honored things that political candidates on the campaign trail here in the United States normally do in order to head off these almost daily gaffes that are taking place on the campaign trail, causing Donald Trump difficulty, stealing all the headlines, taking all the oxygen out of the room here. He just doesn't seem to be able to find a way of avoiding making these errors that are costing him dearly in the opinion polls.
I mean, there's growing evidence from opinion polls that Mr. Trump keeps on getting himself into trouble by making these unexpected remarks in his speeches. Why can't he just exercise more control over what he says?
Because he believes, and, you know, he's got evidence to support this, namely his victory in the primary election campaign earlier in the year, that you need to let Donald Trump be Donald Trump. And Donald Trump is not the kind of guy who makes prepared speeches. He's not a pre-programmed politician. He's not a politician at all. That, of course, Donald Trump believes is the secret to his appeal among his supporters, that he's very much a populist candidate who can say of Hillary Clinton, she's offering yesterday's solutions with yesterday's candidate to tomorrow's problems. His former campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, used to have a sign on his office wall that said, "Let Donald be Donald." And Donald Trump has resisted this idea of becoming more of a programmed politician on the campaign trail, of even acting in a more presidential way. He has found some ability, though, over the last few hours to raise another issue, which is perhaps more effective for him on the campaign trail, and that is going on the attack against Hillary Clinton after a whole raft of emails were released by the State Department. You know, they're progressively releasing her emails, and this was the first batch that seemed to suggest there'd been some influence peddling, at least attempted, by funders of the Clinton administration who then went looking to Hillary Clinton at the State Department for favors. Here's what Donald Trump had to say about that in his rally last night.
It's called pay for play. You saw this. New emails come out. Called pay for... You're not allowed to do it. It's illegal. It's illegal. And I would imagine other things are going to be coming down the pike, so let's see what happens.
It's interesting that he says that other things may be coming down the pike, because Democrats are clearly very worried about that. Just within the last hour, the leader of Democrats up on Capitol Hill, Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, has held a news conference calling the Russian hacking attack of the Democratic Party's internal computer servers an electronic Watergate, and they are bracing themselves, the Democrats, for the release of more emails that could contain yet more internal damaging communications. So they're definitely worried about it. They're definitely trying to get out in front of it. But Donald Trump there suggesting that there might be something more coming down the pike, as he put it, will, I think, only underscore the view of those who wonder whether in some fashion the Russian government and its hackers are trying to help Donald Trump by breaking into the Democratic Party's servers and holding some of this material back for release at any time.
Have we had any response from the Clinton camp about those emails? Because you'd think those allegations have the potential to really damage her in the polls.
Yeah, I mean, in any normal campaign, I think that the release of those State Department emails and the influence peddling allegations that some people suggest they contain would have been front page news and, you know, the lead story on all the major news programs here last night. It has been obscured by the focus that's been placed on Donald Trump's comments, both about encouraging gun owners to think about what they might be able to do to stop Hillary Clinton from becoming presidency. Now, the comments about President Obama being the founder of ISIS. Hillary Clinton is ignoring all of that, and is perhaps politically sensible to try and do that, given that the oxygen of publicity is not really focused on it. She is making a speech today in which she's going to launch her economic plan. She's going to contrast it with Donald Trump's. She's going to argue that Donald Trump's economic policies are designed primarily to aid rich and wealthy people like one Donald Trump, and she will characterize hers as doing far more for the people she used to refer to on the campaign trail as everyday Americans, by which she means the middle classes. So that's what she's going to be talking about today, and she's eager to be talking about that and not any suggestion of influence peddling on her watch at the State Department.
This whole thing about Donald Trump not speaking or not saying... He keeps saying that the media are misreporting what he's saying and they're not understanding what he's saying. But I read somewhere yesterday that if you're running for the most powerful job in the world, you've got to realise that sometimes things that you say could be misinterpreted. So you've got to be really clear about what it is that you're saying and not have these sort of flyaway comments.
Yeah, I mean, the campaign goes into damage limitation mode now on a continuing basis, almost a daily basis, to try and tell everybody that they didn't hear Donald Trump say what they absolutely know they heard him say. And that is hugely problematic for Donald Trump's own communications team. But, you know, very, very difficult to oversee the communications of a politician who wants to go out there, a presidential candidate, who goes out there time and again without a script. And it is that failure to use a prepared text, to stay on message, to know when you begin making a speech, what are the bits that you want the media to pick up on and to relay to the public by the time you finish that speech? It's his failure to embrace basically traditional political communication strategy that is causing his team so many difficulties and causing him so many problems, because it's just leading to sliding opinion polls.
And this is what is going to make the television debate so exciting if they get underway next month. Is there any further clarity on whether they are actually going to take place?
Well, not much further clarity on whether they're going to take place, but Donald Trump has said that he really badly wants to participate in these three debates with Hillary Clinton. Remember that Hillary Clinton has already said, I'll be there, I'll be at all three sites, I'm ready to go. Donald Trump has not adopted that position. He says he wants to see what the rules and regulations are governing the debates. They, of course, will be negotiated between the two political parties over the course of the next month before that first debate takes place on September the 26th. He also said that certain moderators would be unacceptable to him. He didn't name the moderators that would be unacceptable to him, but we know that the Commission on Presidential Debates is looking at a wide range of television network news people as possible moderators for these debates. And if you just go down the list of the names that are out there, it's pretty easy to see which ones immediately Donald Trump would find unacceptable. And those are moderators who have professed in the past liberal leaning and sympathies towards the Democratic Party, but also moderators like Megyn Kelly from the Fox News Channel, who I think is about as objective a journalist on television as you can find, even though she works for the conservative-leaning Fox News Channel. But she and Mr. Trump had a major run-in earlier in the year. So, you know, there's a challenge there for the Commission on Presidential Debates. Are they going to be selective about the way in which they pick these moderators in case one of them might ruffle Donald Trump's feathers and he might stay away? I think it's unlikely that they'll do that, but it does raise the possibility that he could still decide to boycott one or perhaps all of the debates.
Very interesting indeed. I've just been having a quick scroll through Twitter. You mentioned that Donald Trump was speaking as we're speaking. A lot of people saying he's being much more subdued.
I thought he was pretty subdued yesterday. You know, there were reports on CNN yesterday that he had been spoken to by the Secret Service over his remark the previous night. Reports that subsequently have not been stood up by any other news organization. And indeed, a government official told the news agency Reuters last night that there had been no formal conversations between the Secret Service and Donald Trump over his comment about gun owners maybe trying to find some way of stopping Hillary Clinton from becoming president. But that, of course, doesn't rule out the possibility of informal conversations. And I definitely thought that in his campaign rally yesterday afternoon, I now forget where it was, I think it was in Iowa, he seemed much more subdued than he had been in appearances earlier this week. I shall, after we get off the air, go and have a listen to what he's saying right now in Miami Beach, and we'll see if in any way he's dialed some of it back.
Well, if there's any big breaking news in there or another faux pas, then do
we'll be back on the air. Absolutely.
That's Simon Marks, our US correspondent, live from Washington for us. Don't forget you can subscribe to Simon's weekly podcast about the presidential election. It's called Race for the White House. It's out every Friday. It's free. You can subscribe to it and find it on our website at lbc.co.uk.